All right, I want to talk about writing things out in this segment because we are so stupid. I am so stupid sometimes. And I've been doing this for a couple of years, just writing this particular item out. And only in the last week did I start to ask myself, why am I doing this? I take you back 30 years, that the year was 1990. And I got my first real job in this business. And therefore, I got my first apartment by myself. And when I moved into that apartment, I bought an alarm clock. And it was the little square box Sony alarm clock. The AM/FM radio with the alarm that you could put on either radio to wake you up or buzzer.
You go buzzer?
No, I've always gone radio. I don't like the loud, that's heart attack inducing. So I've always gone radio, and I usually put it on a soft music station or classical music or something like that to kind of ease me out of my sleep. I don't want Aerosmith blasting me out of bed in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So I've had this alarm clock 30 years.
A good run.
And it's been great. And I've used it everywhere I've lived since then. It has been my bedside companion for 3 decades. But in the last couple of years, the switch on the top, where you either turn the radio on or off, or slide it more to the right to set the alarm on radio, or slide it all the way to the right to set the alarm on buzzer, that's now got some give to it. So for 2 years, each night, I've gone to bed and set the alarm, and I've put it on radio. But in the morning, it wakes me up with the buzzer. And I freak out, and I reach over, and I hit it, and I'm mad about that. So I say, okay, tonight, you're really going to be careful when you set it. So the next night rolls around, and I'll try to very precisely set it on radio. And I would say it's about 50-50. Sometimes I do get it just right, and it wakes me up with soft classical music. Sometimes, though, I think I've gotten it just right, and I get blasted out of bed by the buzzer.
It is heart-stopping when you hear that.
It's heart-stopping.
Sound.
And it makes me mad. For 2 years, it's made me mad every morning. That's like 300 mornings that I've been mad that I didn't get it set exactly right. And only in the last week have I asked myself, why am I torturing myself like this? Why am I writing this out when any day, I could go to Amazon and for $30 order a new alarm clock and have it there the next day and my problem would be fixed? Why have I been writing this out?
For some reason, that sure seems, and Gordo and I are experts at this because we write things out a lot more than you do. But for whatever reason in your brain, you're just thinking that sounds like more of a hassle than the nightly, let me put this switch just right. And I do crap like that all the time. And no, it's so much easier just to take 5 minutes and order that new alarm clock.
Yeah, the way that we portion out our hassles in this world is insane and during our lifetimes.
Yeah.
Why we will take a daily minor hassle over a once 10, 15-minute hassle, and then we never have to deal with it ever again, I have no idea. I have no idea why I will trip over the same item walking in my home every single day rather than take the 2 minutes to move it to the place where it's supposed to be.
Is it because, is it because we're like animals and like a game trail will form in the woods because the animal takes the path of least resistance every time?
Right.
At
that moment, the least amount of resistance is to not do anything about the problem.
Yes. We are naturally wired to take the path of least resistance. And you're right. I look at that, okay, well, I'm going to spend 15 seconds trying to get this toggle switch correct. Or, yes, Gordon, it probably would be about a 10 to 15 minute process because I kind of have to shop for an alarm clock, right? So that's at least 10 minutes of the process before you hit order. And yet that 15 minutes would buy me so much time and reduce so much stress going forward, it would easily be worth it. But in the moment, I want the path of least resistance.
How about this ride out that I'm in right now? I'd say for about a month, it was a 50-50 proposition that my garage door opener would work.
50-50.
50-50, it's turned into a 0% chance that it would work.
So you're just parking in the driveway.
Yeah, and go and use the code and get in that way and go in through the garage.
I've got one better for you.
And I'm up to about 4 months on it now, and I'm assuming that there's just a little disc battery that I can replace in that that remote, right?
Wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, because just a little watch battery?
Yeah, I had the same thing happen to me recently, and I replaced the battery right away.
Well, so that sounds like a hassle to me. I got to find the right size battery. I got to go buy that, and I don't know.
I have a belt-driven garage door opener that the belt is so old in it, it's dry rotted, and it doesn't work anymore. So to get in the garage, park outside the garage, walk around to the front of the house, go in through the front door, go through the garage, and then have to manually open the garage door by hand, and then get in the vehicle and drive the car in.
Do the clean lift of the heavy garage door.
Yep. What a beatdown. That's way more of a beatdown than his situation, because at least he's got a code box on the garage.
Yep, I don't care. I'll just do it every single time.
Okay. That's not even really the path of least resistance, though. You're having to go way out of your way.
Right. Yeah, I'll get to it tomorrow.
Just and then call Wellborn and get that thing done today.
Yeah. Right.
And you're good.
Yep. That's right.
Have you asked yourself each day as you're doing this why you're doing it?
No, but I do think to myself each day, this is one of the other reasons I hate myself. I think that every single time. Put this on the tally of another reason I hate myself.
I was walking through the rain yesterday. I thought the same thing. I hate myself. I just want to just fix this thing.
I would say that probably 86% of the thoughts that I have in my head are worded, I hate myself.
You know, another reason why I thought I may be riding out this alarm clock is I'm a natural saver. And in my mind, am I saying to myself, you paid $19 for this alarm clock in 1990 and it still kind of works. You are making so much money here.
Wow. Spray some contact cleaner in that thing and it'll work.
See, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it because the slide is too loose.
Uh-huh.
So isn't that just going to make it looser?
Well, why don't you open it up there and see what the, like if the right tolerance now,
that,
has gotten. Okay.
That sounds that's like a lot of work.
All right, there
when you said open it up, I was
done.
Out.
He's done.
Yeah. Does he have that size screwdriver to open that thing up? I don't know.
How is it that some people develop handiness and others just don't?
I told you I installed that doorbell over the weekend. Yeah. Weren't you proud of me?
Yeah, did really you listen to the segment? It didn't go well for you.
But at least I tried.
No, that doesn't go on the bragging part.
How about the hail damage ride out that Gordo and I did a decade ago?
Yes.
When we were all in Oklahoma City for Mavs Thunder. Terrible storm came through. We rode to the game in Junior's car. But our cars were at the hotel and just got pummeled by hail.
That's a good one. And how long did you ride that out?
I rode it out until I got rid of that car.
Yeah, I
and
did too.
It just took the
5 years, I think it was.
Yeah. You guys drove for 5 years
with hail damage.
Significant hail damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty significant. The winders still work.
And I think I even called it into my insurance company. I said, yeah, go ahead, bring it in. You know, we'll take care of it and everything. And I never did that second part.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter. I don't care about nothing.
See, that would bother me. I don't think I could ride that out.
I've still got a situation, broken windshields and everything, and I can't be bothered to. What's the next thing I got to do? Well, I don't know.
Sounds like a lot of procedure.
Yeah, no, I'll just drive the thing while craning my head over into the passenger side where I can see out the windshield. That's fine.
Because I got to get home.
Work.
I got to get home and watch YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I understand we all need to decompress. So we all need that TV watching, that book reading, whatever it is. But you're probably making a deal with yourself that I don't have time to do the insurance thing and go to the body shop and get the loaner car. And then you probably, during the course of your day, if you were to actually look at what you're doing, you probably have more time than you think. Because you're wasting so much time.
You do. And think of what you're doing to yourself, whether it's self-loathing or whatever it is, every time you get in the car and you look at the dents in the hood, and you're just, that causes stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We took that on for years going, I've got to take care of this.
The car is a visual reminder that I'm a loser. And so that means I need to get in the car and find a place where I can buy beer.
P1 Trace says, don't you realize that you have an alarm on your phone? Yes, Trace, I do. But I don't
think you did.
I don't like my phone.
Craig didn't know.
I don't like my phone next to my bed because I don't want to be awake.
Radiation.
And radiation and the blue light and all of that. So I have the phone in the bathroom, and that's my backup alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So I do put that into use, but it's not my primary alarm. It's the backup alarm that'll go crazy.
Why don't you just move to backup alarm technology?
Because I don't want my primary alarm, which is now my backup alarm, to be in another room. I'm okay with the backup being in another room, but
Keep it as your backup alarm, but and call the other one your primary. Just don't use the primary one. That way the backup one stays in the other room. But it's the primary alarm that wakes you up, but it just doesn't have the title of primary.
There's something inception about that I don't like. That makes me uncomfortable. All right, here's something else that I think a lot of us ride out, and that is a particular article or articles of clothing. And I do this, and I'll say up front, you should never do this with underwear. But I think a lot of people do. I think people ride out underwear for no reason. Brand new underwear is pretty comfortable, yeah. So you can't give me the comfort thing. But people will ride out, men and women, mainly men, underwear with holes in it, it's worn out.
You bet.
And underwear is pretty cheap. You know, a 3-pack of briefs is $19 or something like that, $12 maybe. As I've always said, one of the things on my squared away list is you rotate that underwear about every 2 years. You gotta put in a brand new crop of underwear and just burn the old stuff. And I can't believe people ride out underwear for decades.
Not decades.
George, you're raising your hand.
Not decades, but longer than I should. So much so that it's offended the... what do you call that person? They live with you. They spend a lot of money and they're yapping at you all the time. A wife, yeah. She was so offended recently, she started throwing away my underwear because she said it was unraveling and had holes in it.
And not its original color.
Not wearable. She didn't say that. But I would say that it is comfortable. Even, you know, that elastic gets a little waffly. That's okay. And now, if it looks bad, yeah, I'll get rid of it. If you know,
what do you care what it looks like, though? How many people are seeing?
Well, you know, down in that danger area, if it looks bad there, I think
gross.
You need to get rid of it.
No, I can't go on.
Am I right?
Gross.
You know I'm right.
Down in that danger area.
Gross.
It's so line nasty. Of the day, and you know it. But yes, you're right. We should not ride that out, but I'm guilty of that. I'm telling you, it starts
looking like you spilled a hot fudge sundae down there.
No. Like I said, if it looks bad down there, you get rid of it without question.
People will commonly, daily, spend $20, $30 on a meal, lunch or dinner, and that is here and gone in 10 minutes, and then comes out the bad end. But they will not spend $20 on a new 3-pack of underwear that will last for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's really weird the deals we make with ourselves.
I'm reworking my underwear roster right now. We're making acquisitions.
You guys mentioned hail damage on the car. I think there are a lot of automotive things that people ride out. P1 Billy tweets, I spent the last 6 months with 2 leaky tires. So every time I wanted to drive anywhere, I had to air up 2 tires.
Now that's one I will not ride out. I will go and get that fixed.
What a beatdown.
You've got a nail in there, something that's going wrong. Find out what that is before you have a blowout.
Yeah.
Oh, the car riding out thing. You guys know my stories are legendary on that.
Your dad was bad about it.
Oh, my family was horrible about riding out. What would have been minor repairs on cars, but my dad always thought that mechanics were gouging us. So he would do all our own our car repairs. And the problem was, is he was so busy, he couldn't get to it for a long period of time. And, like, I remember the transmission seal being out, and it was an old Buick Century, and it would just run through transmission fluid. And so you had to carry around transmission fluid with you, because you were always having to top it off when you got back out to your car from coming out of a business to keep the thing where it would actually switch gears on you. It wouldn't slip out of gear. And I remember we had to trade that thing in. I forget what eventually went wrong with it, but it surprised us. And we were right by a dealership when it finally gave out. And so we nursed it into the dealership. We were always nursing cars into a dealership.
For the trade-in.
Yeah. Far right lane.
Yeah. So we nursed it into the dealership. And the guy who was doing the inspection to see what he would give it to us on a trade-in, he popped open that trunk. And it was like it was almost like the old can of snakes that you open up as a party gag, because all those just used transmission fluid bottles were so compressed and packed in there that they pop open the trunk and they start spilling out as they expand.
And what do you figure he spent on transmission fluid?
Oh, we had to spend a couple grand on transmission fluid rather just for him to avoid the $220 transmission seal job.
Man, the things we will ride out. Just take inventory today of all the things that you're riding out in your life.